Welcome to the Texas Tech Podcast. I'm Alex Cave, and my friend Sam Moran and I discuss all the latest happenings in the tech scene right here in the Lone Star State.
So, as we were obviously just kind of talking, so I mean, if you want to pick up from where we were kind of just brainstorming there with Autumn, I mean, we kind of just jumped into a random, you know, article here talking about LED drivers and automotive plants, you know, kind of in the technology world.
Yeah. Can you go ahead and like re-summarize that article real quick?
Yeah. So based off the article that I was looking at through, and the title is Automotive LED Drivers to Market Report of 2021 analysis. It's leading manufacturers, Texas Instruments, which is one, ROHM, NXP, Infineon Technologies, and Melexis are all LED driver leading technology brands for automotive makers. So for example,
they're making the chips for them.
Right. And so for example, as we were kind of just brainstorming here, the number one, I guess you can say regional, the market regional analysis includes, so number one ranks as Asia Pacific, which is of course including, you know, Vietnam, China, Malaysia, Japan, Philippines, that type, those types of areas. Mm-hmm. Number two ranking would be Europe, UK, Russia, Germany, Italy, France, Turkey, etc. And then North America falls in number three, which of course is United States, Mexico, and Canada. Number four, South America, which is Brazil. And then in number five is the Middle East and Africa. So,
which I was surprised that the US wasn't number two, but then you had a good point.
Yeah. So I brought up the idea of, if you look at Europe, a lot of what Europe has been making over the past, gosh, I want to say 8 to 10 years, probably, maybe even a little before that. If you look at like Audi, for example, you know, German brand, they came up with, and I don't know, Alex, if you remember when they first introduced kind of those LED signature lights, it was years ago. I want to say it was probably around 5 to 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. They came out with those LED headlights that had like the little signature lighting underneath.
Is that why they would also always do the commercials? Like it's black and you see the lights turn on kind of like eyes in the dark.
So that's
always the image. Cause you've always been more of a car guy than I have, but I definitely like, that's what comes to mind.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that Audi was one of the first, if not the first companies to actually come up with that. And that was Audi's signature. And that's why everybody was like, wow, look at this luxury brand. Cause I mean, being a car guy, Audi has had some troubles in the past. They've had a lot of high oil consumption, a lot of issues that they had with their Audis back in the day. And then, you know, JD Power came out with one of their most dependability, one of the most dependable cars was 2014 Audi A4. And which is crazy because everybody was like, you know, Audi's had this issue with oil consumption. And then JD Power did a study and they came out with being one of the most reliable. So ultimately, not to obviously get off topic, but, you know, that's kind of why I mentioned as to why Europe was probably, honestly, I'm surprised Europe's not number one, to be honest, because if you look at their luxury brands of Audi and you look at like, you know, like Porsche and look at like all these others, BMW is more Japan related and stuff, but I mean, they're definitely leading the game with LED signatures more than anything on automotive vehicles and stuff. But I just thought it was an interesting fact that,
right. Well, and all those chips are wherever the market is, those chips are being made by Texas Instruments being one of the companies that are listed. So like, that's an export from Texas in these global markets.
Right.
And I would assume that's only going to continue. I mean, you continue to go more and more EV, electronic vehicles. Yeah. Like,
exactly.
You're going to put more LEDs in those.
Yeah. And you're going to be putting, you know, if you look at, yes, there's technology in current vehicles, obviously, because you need technology to run a vehicle. The thing is, though, if you look at the automotive industry as a whole, a lot of, like, I think it was it GM? I need to look it up, but GM came out with an article the other day saying that they wanted to be, their plan was to be completely electronic by 2035.
Like the cars or the whole company, like the manufacturing?
With automotive green wise.
Energy.
Right, automotive wise. I'm sure that they're probably going towards the green energy if, I mean, that's probably everybody's idea. I know Apple's like that. But yet, to me, that was crazy because I was thinking, like, are we just not going to have gas-powered cars anymore? Like,
like anywhere?
You know, right. But at the same time, it you know, brings up the good point, like you just mentioned, there's just more technology that's going to have to be invented for these types of things. And I mean, it's going to be all battery-operated. Power operated, you know, there's not going to be any more mechanical moving parts that are oiled anymore or, you know, anything like that. So just a good point. There's something here I see that, and it says the impact of COVID-19, because obviously, you know, that started kind of in China, and China is a huge manufacturer for LED chip drivers and just technology as a whole. And it says here, the impact of COVID-19 in automotive LED drivers market, says the utility owned segment is mainly being driven by increasing financial incentives and regulatory supports from the governments globally. The current utility-owned automotive LED drivers markets are affected primarily by the COVID-19 pandemic. Most of the projects in China, the US, Germany, and South Korea are delayed, and the companies are facing short-term operational issues due to supply chain constraints and lack of site access due to the COVID-19 outbreak. Asia Pacific is anticipated to get highly affected by the spread of COVID-19 due to the effect of the pandemic in China, Japan, and India. So I guess that kind of brings up a good point of, you know, how these companies are kind of dealing with that and how the short supply and short chain can affect those things.
Well, that's similar. Did you see the article about like the profit earnings for TI was up like 20% in the last quarter because there was such a shortage?
No, that's
crazy. So some of those, so not the LED drivers, but some of the other processor chips that they make, there was a shortage in the car industry for some of those chips because they were all getting pooled as everyone went work from home,
right?
So the demand for like personal electronics, which used some of the same chips, that skyrocketed. So then there was a shortage.
Wow.
Unlike across those industries for any of those chips that could be used, or I mean, even if they're not the exact same chips, I mean, you have a company like TI, and you know the demand for all of these chips for personal electronics goes up, even if they're not the same chip, it would only make sense to like re-divert.
Right.
Yo, we gotta pump out more chips. People gotta be able to stream and work from home and whatnot. And
absolutely, of
course, they sell those to all the other manufacturers. Yeah. But yeah, like TI's in a good spot right now.
Yeah. And like that brings up a good point of even it, like, so obviously I've been into building PCs and I know a lot about, you know, like AMD and Intel and all that. Bro, when there was really that shortage of when people were starting to work from home, there were a lot of people building PCs. Even now, like if you look at the market, there are so many processors that are delayed, GPUs that are delayed. People can't build the PC they want anymore. When you used to be able to walk down to a Best Buy store and buy it just right then and there, you have to wait weeks. And it's like a solid 4 to 6 lead time, you know, in terms of waiting for it. And so that alone right there, you know, tells you how much, how and unanticipated this pandemic was, but at the same time, I also feel like how almost unprepared so many companies and people were for it. Not only us as individuals were had a shortage for toilet paper and stuff, and then and then you look at these tech companies that were completely unprepared for it, and you know, there's months, almost a year later, there's still shortages of things, you know. So
yeah,
it's just crazy to think about, you know, and crazy to try and process how something like this could affect us in the future too, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like there's always that difference between it seems like so many tech companies are now primarily, if not solely, software based.
Yeah.
So, I mean, software you push out as soon as you make it, but it's like anything hardware, chips, manufacturing computers, cars, you gotta build the whole thing. You can't just like, oh, we need a fix. Like tap, push to the repo, then publish it, and like, bam, it's there. Okay, cool. We fixed it. It's like, oh no.
Yeah.
It broke, or we don't have enough to like make. I mean, it doesn't take anything. It doesn't take any external resources to make software. You just type up software.
I mean,
you have to have server space, but it's not like, oh, we ran out of batteries. Well, now we can't make the Tesla car at all because we don't have, it doesn't work without the batteries.
Right. And then you look at it like, you know, these manufacturing plants that were still in business, you know, working, whether it was in China or the US, and then you get one person who got infected by COVID-19 then it shut down the entire area of that manufacturing plant, you know, and then that was out for 2 weeks. And then, you know, it's like, it was just such a domino effect that caused, you know, these types of things. Even people who were running into issues with their cell phone, you know, and they needed to send it off to Samsung or Apple, or, you know, it was causing delays because these individuals, you know, whether they were getting sick or whatever the case might've been, like you said, it's an actual physical piece of hardware we need to work on versus software. You type it up from home, you send it out, you know, you're good to go. You get a couple bug fixes in there and you're fine. But hardware is obviously much more, intense to work on, you know, and much more complicated. Doesn't just require software to do, it's a lot of manual labor too.
So I mean
it's a good point though, like it's you know, this whole past year almost has kind of hit everybody kind of blindsided and caused a lot of financial issues with tech companies. But then at the same time, the demand for a lot of stuff went up and it skyrocketed, which caused a lot of companies to do very, very well. And they still are, you know, so just a lot of pros and cons when it comes to a technology based plant, I guess you can say. But yeah, that was a cool article to touch on with the LEDs.
Yeah. And I'm looking at this one that talks more specifically about the Texas Instruments earnings reports, 22% spike in the fourth quarter last year. And for Q1 of this year, they're forecasting an earnings of $3.8 billion.
Golly, man.
Yeah. Crazy. It's nice when you start talking financials. Like, for those of us that are like in so focused on the tech, then you start learning more about the business side and you're like, oh geez, like, very quickly, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars that you're talking about.
Easy.
And yeah, they are top its prior. So the previous year, it will top its prior year sales by 19% and its profit by 25%.
Wow.
Yeah. Of course.
That's some good money.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
TI is doing okay.
No kidding. Are they hiring? No.
I mean, everyone's hiring now. I mean, seems to be that way.
Right. Right.
From what I've seen, definitely seen some articles popping up about, well, one, several companies that have moved here have stated, you know, one of the reasons they moved to Texas is because we do have a tech savvy workforce. I think people have forgotten over the years how much tech is in Texas.
Yeah.
And I mean, TI has been around plenty long time.
Yeah.
And I think id Software, I'm pretty certain, is based out of Dallas. And
yeah.
And that's just, there's far more than I think people realize unless you're in it, like really in it. But even then, like all the cities are so, with the cities as spread apart as they are compared to other places on the East Coast or West Coast.
Right.
I think that's where it's like, there's no critical mass center. So I think it's kind of diversified across the state. And that's why people don't recognize, like you think California, you just instantly think, oh, well, Silicon Valley.
Right.
And it's what, Sand Hill Road, where all the investors are, you know, it's like everyone's in close proximity to each other. Here, everyone's spread out. So it seems to be that that's part of the reason people just sort of forget how much is here and has been here for decades.
Right. And how much of those companies supply for much larger companies, you know?
Yes.
Like, for example, you know, like we were just talking about, like the Intuit, you know? I mean, this is a company who moved here a little over 3 years ago from, not more so from East or West Coast, but, you know, from Chicago, but still, you know, the CEO, whose name Craig Silverman, he's actually a native of San Francisco for 10 years before he moved to Dallas-Fort Worth. And, you know, he moved the entire headquarters of the company there. And, you know, that company alone, for those of you who may not know who Intuit is or what they do, based off the research. Yeah.
I had no idea they even existed.
Yeah. And you know, I didn't either until we kind of started looking at it. But, you know, if you look at them as a company, what they, so if you go to their website and, you know, who they are and what they do, you know, they clearly explain here, and I just had it here on, oh, here it is, says, so why Intuit, right? And their whole mission goal says, we began with one goal in mind, to enable faster, smarter, and more profitable decision-making that delivers measurable financial results. We do this by delivering AI-powered analytics that generate next-level retail, consumer goods, and manufacturing insights. So a little bit more on the financial side of it, but if you look at them as a company, you know, they supply for these huge, huge retailers, Target, Eddie Bauer, Michael Kors, Neiman Marcus, you know, the Children's Place, that's just to name a few. And then if you look at their consumer products on the side, and Alex and I were just talking about this, you know, they supply for Pepsi and Philips and Bimbo, you know, and these types of, I mean, this is a small, well, I say small, but this is a Texas company that nobody knows about, you know, and not too many people, unless you're probably working with them or working for them. It's hard to kind of look at these companies and say, like, you know, you might pass one of their small buildings on the way to work in Dallas, you know, one day. And it's like, you know, little do you know, this is a multi-million dollar company more than anything. And they're supplying for these huge, huge retailers. And it's just very surprising, you know, to see that. And in this article that I was reading about with their CEO, you know, it says here, between 2017 and 2020, Dallas-Fort Worth added more than 10,000 high-tech jobs. That's in a three-year span. And that's not just tech jobs. It's high-tech jobs, from computer system analytics computer system analysis to electrical engineers to software developers. I mean, in a three-year span, 10,000 high-tech jobs.
Well, and that's just within Dallas, right?
Right. And that's for very well-paying jobs too. It's not just these, you know, minimum wage jobs that you're going in for. You know, these are high tech. I imagine in Texas, you know, the standard salary for a software engineer starting is around close to 80,000 a year. You know, so I mean, that's a decent living for somebody who's single, just out of college, maybe, you know, who's gotten this job, maybe even in their mid-20s, late-20s. It's a pretty decent living in Texas.
Heck yeah. And yeah. Well, I won't, yeah.
Yeah. And it, like, you look at it here, with a median IT salary. This is a median IT salary of $94,000 in Texas. Plenty of live music and professional sports teams, team professionals, tech professionals are finding opportunity and quality of life in Dallas. I mean,
heck yeah. I mean, we have it all, which is what everyone's now discovering, which is like anything else, got pros and cons.
Right. But, yep. 100%.
Yeah. We know people are coming here. I mean, people have been coming here. So Intuit came here 3 years ago.
Right.
So it's been a trickle. Now it's like someone just turned on the faucet all the way.
And it's been good. I think for a lot of these businesses, economy wise for technology. I mean, not only is Texas now growing, you look at Austin. Austin's been a huge part of South by Southwest, you know, huge tech and music festival, you know, every year. And well, with the exception of last year, but but you look at it though, and you see that, you know, these companies are moving here, and yes, it's great for them. But I also sometimes wonder, how is that affecting other, you know, startup companies too, you know, that were a little bit smaller?
More competition. Competition usually, it can spawn better ideas where when you bring people, I mean, it happens all the time where you have to, it can happen.
Right.
Where you have two companies working on something similar and then they just merge. And then it's like, oh, well, if we just join forces, then we can accomplish more. We're kind of moving in the same direction.
True.
Y'all have some good ideas here. We have some good ideas here. Or you just, through that evolutionary process, then the one that can survive the longest, then they're the victor.
Right.
It is going to be really interesting because, again, kind of going back to that centralization that Silicon Valley has or had, I've never lived in San Francisco or in Silicon Valley in that sphere, but that has been one of the difficult things here in Texas, comparatively, by all accounts that I've heard, is like getting access, just like having a path. This is how you at least go seek funding for your startup. Mm-hmm. Hasn't been quite as straightforward. And I think as I'm aware, we've had tech, but haven't had the kind of giant companies start in Texas, aside from Texas Instruments. But like my awareness of this is that it's been a lot of energy companies coming out of Texas with our history of oil and then Houston being a port city and refinery. So like energy has been a big sector for Texas for decades. And we've had big companies start, but not, I don't think it's the same scale, or at least not with the same consistency. Cause then you look out in Silicon Valley and it's like, oh yeah, how many household software companies have come, if not there, then somewhere around there. Cause I know that there's startups down in LA and or you have Seattle and Portland, which have tech hubs there too. But my understanding of the venture capital path here in Texas is that it's just not at quite as unified. It's not as straightforward of like, oh, if I don't know someone in that space of investing to help me get my startup going, then I know of someone who knows of someone who knows the guy I need to talk to.
Right.
Sort of like Austin has definitely been a hub, but I mean, it's just all seems to be a bit more spread out, and each place is, I mean, the closest you have is Austin and San Antonio at an hour and a half, depending what side of Austin, what side of San Antonio, and how much traffic.
Right. Yeah. The 35 craziness. Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, that's the closest, because then the next closest is like 3 to 3.5 hours if you're going. I've never gone Houston to Austin, but Austin to Dallas or San Antonio to Houston, I mean, it's like 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah, San Antonio to Dallas is a solid 4, 4.5, depending where you're going. Fort Worth, actual Dallas, you know, just depends. Yeah. But, and then you look at it, like, you look at Houston, who, I mean,
kind of seems to be doing their own thing.
Yeah. Like, honestly, sort of like out there. Right. And I was actually just thinking that myself, you know, one of the main centers that they have is, you know, of course, the NASA Johnson Space Center, and which is huge, right? But it is really, I mean, it's huge aerodynamics, you know, a lot of technology,
aerospace engineering.
Yeah, a lot of engineering involved with that. But then you look at anything outside of that, and maybe I just haven't done the research on it, but you know, it's kind of, it's really, for me, the 35
corridor.
You know, yeah, it's really, yeah, San Antonio, Austin, Dallas really seems like they're the more upcoming, and you know, maybe people just don't want to live in Houston because of the humidity. I don't know. maybe nobody wants to go there, but
it's real. It gets bad in San Antonio too sometimes.
It does.
When you're even closer to the, ocean.
Oh yeah.
It gets real down there.
Yeah.
In Houston. But I've had some good times in Houston. No shade on Houston. It's just different.
Right. It is. And like
a little further out.
Yeah. And Austin, you know, I really feel like San Antonio is modeling themselves a lot after Austin too. Austin,
yeah,
though this smaller city has had a lot more, you know, a lot more inventions with technology and music and stuff. And I feel like a lot of that is starting to rub off on San Antonio. San Antonio started, you know, seeing how successful Austin was being. And that's why you now have the Pearl, and you have a lot of attractions downtown for music. And, mm-hmm, you know, a lot of those places are starting to really kind of model themselves after the Austin vibe, I should say.
Yeah. Culturally, Austin is rubbing off on San Antonio, which I would argue by and large is a good thing.
Yeah.
There's, you know, when you just want to go out and after coding or whatever you're working on, but if you've been staring at a computer screen for the entire week trying to code through stuff, then it's like, it's nice. Go live music, great food.
Friends, enjoy it.
And yeah, the San Antonio, I think people forget how big of a city San Antonio is. And yeah, I would agree with that. Austin is kind of rubbing off on San Antonio culturally, through the food, the music. I mean, it's always had that stuff, but it's expanding and growing in those areas.
Yeah.
The Pearl being a fine example of that, which reminds me of another topic that we came across with all the people moving here in Texas. The apartment industry is booming. Let me get back over to that one. But it was because all those people have to have somewhere to go live. People got to stay somewhere. So the apartment industry, like building, so this is construction, but it's being driven in large part because of all the people from these tech companies that are moving here. They got to have somewhere to go. So Dallas is in the lead with 49,000 new units being built.
It's crazy.
And Austin comes in second with 31,000 units. Houston is third with 28, almost 29,000. And then San Antonio coming up with almost 11,000 new units. And these are all, according to this article, if they're not in the middle of construction, they must be gearing up. I mean, you have to do land clearing and all that, permitting, all that fun stuff.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, it's sometimes, anytime there's the company moving and people coming in, like overall, everyone benefits because plenty of new construction projects, you're going to have new shops opening up in those new areas, which one of the single biggest developments that is supposed to be in the works is a billion, estimated to be $1 billion mixed use development just across from the current Samsung chip manufacturing plant there in Austin along Tech Ridge. Right. So like you mentioned the Pearl, I have no idea how much it costs to build the Pearl. The Pearl is really nice. And
yeah,
I guess
yeah.
it kind of depends on how you define the Pearl, because they recently just, I mean, they've been building apartments around it.
Oh yeah.
Like there's one that's, I don't know which south, directionally south, east or west from it. They're not as tall. They're not the super tall ones that just got built, but they're like directly across the street.
Is it Southline?
Because I don't know.
Southline got built. The only reason, and I know this because my uncle actually lives in the area, and those apartments got built. They brand new. They just moved in a year ago. They brand new, and they opened up. So I want to say they've been there for, if not a year already, they're going on a year. And but I mean, you talk about some very, very nice apartments. It's down the strip of the Pearl. Like you could literally walk, but they're not in the Pearl. They're kind of with the like adjoining street, like right down.
Yes.
And you can walk straight down there, and just the Pearl's less than a block away, and it's literally perfect. But there are some very high-end condos that were built, which I think is the ones you just mentioned, the really tall ones. Tall skyline ones.
Yes.
Those are some very, very high-end condos, which people will buy and just live there, you know? So that's, and I found a lot of this out from my uncle as well, who's very, very into like the real estate type of feeling down there. And I mean, that place, even more south of the Pearl, is just growing and becoming like the spot to be, you know? So a lot of people are migrating from a lot of the outskirts of San Antonio that used to be like the higher end, like Stone Oaks and things like that. Mm. A lot of them are migrating down to those areas to live because they want to be closer to like where it's at, you know? And heck, so yeah, it's, and yeah, and I mean, it's true.
Especially
when
you can walk there.
Right. Yeah. You don't have to worry about, you take your dog, hang out outside. You know, a lot of those places are pet friendly, and you know, a lot of the more nicer places up north around the Stone Oak area and stuff are not as pet friendly or outdoorsy and stuff. So like I said, you know, that the Pearl and those places really just seem to be modeling themselves a lot after what Austin has. And, you know, they saw the amount of people that were outdoorsy and like doing the outdoor activities with their pets and such. And they're just kind of modeling themselves after that, which I think is good. I think it's bringing a lot of good attention to San Antonio. So, and then helps with the you know, housing things with people, you know, needing to find a place to live. And now that industry's booming, and
yeah,
you know, it's just better and better. So
yeah. And if you, I mean, I guess at the beginning of that, I don't know how I'm trying to think about, you know, just how big a new billion dollar mixed use development is. And so I don't know how much the Pearl was, but I imagine, I hear that number and I just sort of imagine, and seeing that area, I mean, along Tech Ridge, you have the Samsung plant, but then not far away, you have multiple other plants.
Yeah.
Like that, it's not, you have like in the center of Austin, you have like LinkedIn, Google is downtown, but then more of like the manufacturing stuff, more of the plants are further out, but there's quite a bit.
Yeah, you're right.
So they're trying to go like, which is great. I mean, that's the place to be. You want to be kind of central to all of those plants.
Right.
I just imagine, and I don't have the article in front of me because it was from like a week ago, but yeah, same deal. You have your apartments, your condos, your outdoor spaces, which is a big thing here in Texas. Like, I don't know how many bars have like outdoor patios, and are actually, that's one of the nice things about Texas is you have this culture of like, you can go, I don't know if it's technically classified as a bar where it's got like more outside seating than inside. Cause it's like, yeah, bring your kids and like watch the game on the big screen all together and like bring your kids and your dog and like just hang out. And it's more, obviously we have our sports bars, but like you could just go hang out at the, like the outdoor patio and have a few drinks. I think that's one of the,
And that's been one of the big ones for like the whole social distancing too. You know, a lot of the outdoorsy stuff became really big during this past year. And I think a lot of people have started to realize that. And you also think about how this whole pandemic situation has affected how people think too. Like you look at movie theaters now,
I know
movies are being released on Netflix like weekly. And it's like, you know, yes, it's great. Yeah. And it was like, it's great to go and socialize and go to the movies, but some people have just gotten comfortable being at home now that it's like, well, I could really do my job and get all of my entertainment needs, though socialization isn't as much, but you know, it's been a big part of that over this past year. And I wanted to touch very quickly on, because you kept mentioning about Samsung too and being based in Austin. You know, there's that article here that we had discussed as well, and this was updated on the 23rd, so a little over a week ago. But it, I mean, the article reads here as you know, Samsung is in discussions to place a $10 billion, and I know that you found another article that was a little conflicting with that to the $17 billion, but you know, here I don't know if it's just kind of a general estimate or average, but they are in discussions to place a $10 billion chip making plant in Austin. That was according to a report from Bloomberg. It says here that the plant would be able to manufacture chips as advanced as 3 nanometers in the future. I don't know how much you've paid attention to chip making, but Apple just announced in the, I think it was the A14, the A13 maybe, chip, that it's 7 nanometers. 7 nanometers was a big accomplishment because it used to be 10. And then they, I think it was, I want to say it was a company from China, maybe Huawei. I think they did 8 nanometers, and then Apple has gone to the 7 nanometer, which is been what Qualcomm's mainly been manufacturing as well. But 3 nanometers, that's a tiny chip. Tiny chip.
That's incredible. So wait, so Apple was doing the 7. That's not on the M1. You said that was right. The previous.
That's on their mobile based chip. So like iPhones, iPads.
Oh no, that's right.
Those are the 7 nanometers.
So it's not the M1 chip, but it's still their proprietary chip.
Yeah. It's and Apple is transitioning to their silicon chips,
right?
Which, you know, more security and those types of things. But
better integration.
Yeah, exactly. So the 7 nanometers is kind of like the main chip size now. It's been the average for the past, I want to say about 2 years or so, has been kind of like the go-to. But I mean, you look at Samsung here, if they're able to place a, you know, $10+ billion chip making plant, I mean, to be as advanced as 3 nanometers in the future, that tells you right there, Samsung's obviously looking far into the future. It says with construction. Investment. Yeah, it really is. I mean, you're putting a lot into that for a successful, I don't ever see Samsung going away. Obviously they're making more than just mobile chips. They're making refrigerators, TVs,
I forget that they make refrigerators,
man. I get it's crazy. They're making a lot of stuff, and it's, you know, it says here that construction possibly starting this year and operations taking flight in 2023. That gives you an idea of in two years. Who knows the amount of jobs that could open up too? You know, a $10 billion plant that, I mean, who knows? Maybe that gives you 10,000 jobs. That's a
scientists and technicians and
engineers and just everything. Even all the way down to the people who would be cleaning the facility. I mean, you know, it's there's such a wide range. Now I'm sure there'll be relocating some people from other plants that they have, potentially even from the Austin plant in general.
Yeah.
But, you know, just the idea that that gives you that, you know, could make up for that. There's so many, so many large companies, even Tesla's talked about it. Just relocating their headquarters here. And I think
they confirmed it.
Yeah.
So in this article about the apartments, part of this article. Okay. So as this article puts it, both Tesla and Oracle are both planning to move their California headquarters to Austin.
Right.
So what does planning mean? Who said planning? I would take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Because this is the one article I haven't checked on that specifically to cross-reference. But you're right.
You're right about Texas. Because in the same article, I'm just reading it here, Tesla's coming to Austin area. Car company picks Texas site for second U.S. vehicle assembly plant.
Well, is that the one that's already being built for the Cybertruck? Another one after this, after the Cybertruck plant?
Actually, that's...
I know the Cybertruck plant is already like... It's in full swing for construction. Apparently, there's guys that they were flying drones over the site to give updates on the construction process.
That's
crazy. On YouTube. Like, you can just Google and find and like get almost, as far as I'm aware, someone else told me like almost daily updates.
That's
to see crazy. Like how it's coming along, and they're trucking.
That's crazy. That is crazy. And you did hear about Elon Musk also relocating to Texas, right?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's and it's cool because even in the same article, you know, I'm reading here that it says in December it was announced that Hewlett Packard Enterprise, HP, will be relocating its global headquarters to Spring, Texas from California. Spring, Texas isn't a huge place.
Where's Spring, Texas?
Spring, Texas, I believe it's close by the Houston area. I think maybe my geography is way off.
For those who have not been to Texas,
right?
You forget. We all forget how big this.
How
place
large?
Is.
Yeah, it's just north of Houston. Just north of Houston.
What?
Yeah, I want to say probably about 20-30 miles from downtown Houston. You know, that's right there. Hewlett Packard is moving to Spring, Texas. I mean, HP is a huge company, you know? So,
yeah,
just so many different opportunities that are happening here that are good, you know? I mean, it's will create jobs, will create business opportunities. A lot of really, really good stuff that could come into play there.
I never had an HP product.
We had an old computer. I won't go into too much detail. We didn't keep it very long, but
but I think they're now kind of like Microsoft. They're more, didn't they go more like B2B than to consumer? I mean, I have not kept up with HP at all. I just
they still make some really good printers. Their printers are really good. They're always going to be involved in the computer game. They're always going to have. I've always seen them as being more of like a kind of like. They've been a good company. I've always seen them as being more of like a family computer company, not, of course I'm wrong. I know I am, because obviously they're doing business with big companies, but. They've always, to me, just been more of like that household family having a computer, you know, the kids get on to do their homework and such, but nothing crazy. They're not into, you know, these big gaming computers and stuff, unlike Alienware and, you know, all these other computers.
Yeah.
But they're a little bit more conservative on that side, I would say.
Just a more generic, which
right.
There's a market for that
generic,
too.
Generic. Yeah. And there's definitely, there's definitely people out there that want that. So,
But
I'm sure they're doing more internal, huge, you know, business deals and things like that. So,
yeah. Yeah. Cause I know it seems like a number of the original PC players shifted, and I know my history is going to be off, but in the past couple decades to more like enterprise level solutions,
right?
Business solutions.
Yeah. And I think I might be wrong on this, but I think a lot of that transition some within the past year too, with this, you know, with this pandemic, a lot of these companies
not going to be printing as much anymore.
Yeah. And like a lot of these companies started, I feel like, helping each other, you know, they, a lot of them started working together and creating solutions for problems, whether it was shortages or, you know, these companies that were all like you just mentioned, paper-based or, you know, something like that. I feel like a lot of them have started to work together to figure out what the next step is. You know, it wasn't like they kind of just turned their back on each other. You know, it was kind of more of like a joint effort. And I could be wrong on that, but I do feel like there have been a lot of companies that have been working together over the past year, really, that were trying to kind of find solutions for these problems that that they both faced, you know. So a lot of good in it, I think. A lot of a lot of good opportunities coming within the next 5 years, I would say. And I think it's just going to continue booming from that point. You know, people are going to start seeing, wow, you know, Texas is doing well. There's a $17 billion chip making plant from Samsung there. There's a Tesla, you know,
Cybertrucks. Just
yeah. There's a Toyota plant. There is,
yeah, Toyota.
So many different opportunities. And I think it's going to make for some good business. You know, you may even see some of these small cities starting to grow a lot. You know, people may start moving these big companies to these small cities. And though the people who have been established there for a while may not like it, you know, it's kind of just the adapting and the, you know, the growing of the nation really as a whole.
HP's coming spring
yep,
Texas.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. People right now.
You didn't know, you know now.
You look at like, even, you know, there's so many different opportunities like San Angelo, Midland. There's not obviously a whole, they're not as established in, you know, city like Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, Austin, San Antonio, El Paso. But, you know, you look at like Lubbock and Amarillo and, you know, all these kind of secluded places that, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm excited for the next 5 to 10 years and seeing how much Texas will grow. As long as they don't come, you know, causing issues, I'm fine with it. Right.
I'm right there with you, man.
Right.
Well,
right.
I got one more that kind of fits into some of the, not small city, but I got a story about a Fort Worth-based tech company that I thought they made a really cool pivot during this past year.
Yeah.
So where's their name? Digital Seat Media, Fort Worth based company. And what they were doing, and hopefully we'll be able to continue as soon as things get quote back to normal.
Right.
They would put QR codes on like all the bleachers.
Oh,
so for sporting events. So you would go to sit down and you would scan the QR code and then it would launch a web app so that you could very quickly do stuff like keep track of the score and stats. And like, you know, I'm assuming like pull up information on any of the athletes on whatever team that you wanted.
Right.
Get coupons, you could order food, which is great. You don't have to like flag someone down for concessions.
Right.
All the way over. You could just like, hey, this, it knows where you are because each QR code is tied to the seat and you could just order food. But then you could also do things like report incidents and like, seems like
that is
a great all around use. And especially if you don't have to download an app where I'm sure you've been like, where everyone else is trying to download stuff all the time. Like you go to any convention and if they don't have the repeaters or like the mini towers set up,
Yep, your reception's flawed. All the bandwidth
gets sucked up.
Yep, and your reception's flawed between those concrete barrier walls have. Yeah, yeah. And so yeah, a lot of that can be. But yeah, a lot of people connect to these public Wi-Fis, and yep. You're right. All this bandwidth getting sucked up, and it just becomes you're sitting there waiting for things to load like you were back in dial-up. You know, so yep.
So what they did, because obviously COVID, then right. Not nearly as many people going to sporting events. So what they did is I think they just introduced a new product. I don't think they completely replaced their offering because they're hoping to, you know, get back to what they were doing right. primarily, but they introduced what they called safety scans so that you can, whenever you put the QR code wherever you want, mm-hmm. as a business, so that people can scan it and then tell whether or not that area has been sanitized.
Wow.
So like for restaurants, I mean, finally QR codes. I've never right. understood why QR codes weren't more of a thing.
I was just about to mention that. I was now, just about to say that.
They're so useful.
Yeah. I was just about to say that the amount of paper and stuff that you could have been saving on menus and all that stuff, yeah. Just scan, or you don't have to wait for the waitress to bring you a menu. Like you just or that, scan everything yeah. in there. I mean,
if you've been out to a restaurant, hopefully they're open in your area.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you think I got COVID? Yeah.
You're better now.
I'm better now. Better now. You're better now. Yeah. 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 I've learned.
Thankfully. But yeah, so you could now, restaurants have adopted the QR codes for menus, but you know they're having to sanitize a booth, a set of chairs and table,
right?
You know, in between guests, so it's almost like a way for guests to sort of facilitate between incoming guests and businesses. Yeah, like it's good. That spot's right. good, or like, hey, you should wait until let us know.
Right.
That this needs to get wiped down, whatever the case is. That's but cool. I thought that was a great product pivot based off what I thought was a great idea. And it's a small, I don't know how big they are. Somewhere in here, they're on track to install the seat tags in 50 stadiums by the end of the year.
Nice.
Which nice. Something else I thought about is their digital seat media is based in Fort Worth. So this article talked primarily about, you know, they started in university stadiums, and not just in Texas either, in Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Southern nice. Methodist University. So they were growing. And something else I thought of, though, even though this is all like traditional sports, what about esports? Because we have that right. esports stadium in Arlington,
mm-hmm.
and that would be cool if, like, per, you know, you go to sit down, you scan, you get all the information for all the players. Like, what if you could instantly access like a highlight reel of some of their top plays per player?
Yeah, yeah.
Like within that web app,
right?
Which you could do for traditional sports too. Like if someone edited together clips of like each player's right. top plays from the past 5 games, 10 games,
right?
And you could like get a brief on either team. Maybe there's someone you weren't really tracking, but they make a great play, and you're like, oh, I want to learn some more about them. Have like a quick way to get some information on them.
Yep.
And I mean, I thought that was super cool what they're doing and how they pivoted. And I think there's a lot of stuff they could continue doing in the future. Even yeah. like just automatically tagging like, oh, you're here. You know, for people who like to tag that they yeah. attend events across whatever platform, then you could like make it super easy. Like scan in, you could have like a pop-up. Oh, do you want to tag on Instagram or on Twitter?
Right. Share, yeah.
I never used Foursquare. I don't know if people still use Foursquare or not.
I mean, yeah, it's been a long, long time since I did.
Yeah. Or even like Google still pushes for the, they have local guides.
Mm-hmm.
So like
they do, yeah.
Google does all the Street View stuff, but anyone can upload 360 images for Google Maps.
Right.
They're geolocated, and you could do it just with your phone. And like, that's one way to participate as a Google local guide. The other way is like posting reviews. Though if you did that, and it asked you as soon as you scanned in, like, do you want to post on any of these that you're here and like check in?
Right.
That's something else that they could put into that. So again, yeah, it's kind of, Fort Worth isn't a small town, at least not compared to like traditional small Texas towns.
Right.
But out of like, whenever you hear stuff coming, a tech company within Texas, usually Austin, and say Dallas second.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, San Antonio has tech.
Yeah.
It just doesn't get talked about much.
Right.
But like Fort Worth was like, I thought that was really cool to hear about this company coming out of Fort Worth, one the smaller of like the big cities.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a really smart pivot that they made during this past year. And I hope things get back to normal for everyone else's sake to like keep getting back out. But
yeah,
I'd like to see what they continue to do with the digital seat stuff for live events. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. And I don't know how it is, because I know specifically in San Antonio that they are opening up these live events now where people are playing, you know, live music and stuff again. And so, that's a really cool idea. And it just shows you right there that, you know, how these companies are adapting to what they have and their situation. And, you know, obviously they weren't a company to just kind of say, well, can't scan, you know, a seat anymore, so we'll just kind of let it go. But, you know, kind of adapting to it and, you know, showing a good idea of coming out, because everything's now about sanitization and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. It's a really cool idea.
Now that you mentioned artists, that'd be cool if you gave like local business owners some sort of way to customize the tags.
Yeah.
So like,
true.
Kind of like an ad, like you go on Facebook, anyone can just pitch in for an ad, or on Google, but like, that'd be cool if the tags don't change, but on any given night, like a business owner, like a restaurant could say, oh, these are the people who are going to be performing.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And that way, if you hear someone performing that you really like, you could just like scan and then be like, oh, this is the person in the lineup. You know, like, you could see the lineup and just hit like follow and automatically follow that artist on whatever, YouTube, Instagram, whatever else. Like, I think there's a lot of different things you could build. I guess those instances are like connecting to things that already exist and just like connecting them onto that digital seat platform.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's a ton of use cases you could build internal to that digital seat platform as well.
Just like, that's a good point. That's a really good point. A lot of good information today. There's a ton out there. I'd like to, next time we discuss, I'd like to potentially go a little bit more in depth with Texas Instruments for those who may not know, you know, who it is or what they do. It's as easy as kind of looking it up on a website, but you know, I think talking about it and kind of discussing that would be a cool topic that we could discuss as well. But I mean, man, there's just so much information out there right now that
there's a ton.
I mean, we could go on probably for hours and hours, but of course, you know, we understand attention spans, as mine is very short, and you know, it's hard to keep those as we stretch it out, but definitely a lot of great information. I'd like to touch a little bit more on that Texas Instruments though, for sure.
Yeah.
And really kind of dive a little bit into them and see what they're about. And you know, for those who may be interested in potentially even job openings, you know, that type of thing, for those types of companies.
Plenty of.
Yeah. Yeah. I was looking at their website. It looked like they had some good opportunities available for sure.
Yeah.
Nice. Well,
cool. Good first run.
Yeah.
Good pilot.
Absolutely.
To anyone listening, thanks for listening in. And if you have any feedback, reach out.
Yeah.
And, or any particular stories that you're particularly interested in.
Yeah.
We'll be continuing to cover all things tech here in Texas.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything that anybody wants to reach out, maybe that they want a, you know, a second and third opinion about, or potentially just want some ideas from us who have been involved with technology for a while and you know, are interested in this stuff, definitely reach out. But you know, aside from that, we will definitely be continuing going forward. I think a lot of good constructive information that's helped a lot. I've learned a lot too from some of these articles as well. And so just a lot of great information out there for Texas involved technology companies for sure.
Heck yeah.
Nice. Well,
alrighty.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and close it out. Alex, thanks for joining me. Obviously we will continue going forward and we'll definitely see where this can go and who's interested, right?
Thanks everybody.
Yeah.
See ya.
All right, man. See ya.